I'm just wondering what it was. That's anyway, praise God. We can have fun, right? You know, God has a sense of humor. You know why I know? Because he made all of us. Right? Amen. Amen. I'm going to be good today. I was going to say something about Annette, but I'm going to be good. Don't mess with her. Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. If I can't handle her, I'll turn her over to Brad Snyder. Is he? He's got a nice sweater on today. If the Lord tells you to give that to me, be obedient.
You never fill it out.
You had to say something, right? Okay. All right, Lord. Forgive him. For he does not know. He does know what he says, but forgive him. Jersey people. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's okay. God made Jersey people too. Wow. Because I pick up people from Uber from different states, and they go, I said, so how do you like Jersey? She goes, they go, well, you know, it's okay, but everybody's always beeping a horn at me and tailgating me and yelling at me. I said, well, it's Jersey. You got to get used to us, you know. It's just, she goes, well, they do have an edge. I go, well, I agree. They do. I'm doing this thing 8 hours a day. I know. It's okay. God bless them. Where's the time that I didn't bless them? I say something else, but I bless them now. I said, in the name of Jesus. And then when they get mad at me and they start tailgate me and give me yelling all this stuff, you know what I do? I go, hello. Well, I guess I wave at them, and they that's even get some more angry. Yeah. So I said, okay, don't do that. Be good. Be good. It's hard sometimes. But anyway, it's good to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I hope everybody is well. You know, it's interesting. I was doing the message that I had all set. And it was a good message, but then the Lord said, nah, you're going to change it today. You're going to change that. Because you need to minister for what the people need. And that's the most important thing. So I said, all right. Okay, no worries. Hey, whatever you say. So I believe he gave me a message to encourage you about that. Also, actually concerning finances and people are believing God. You know, how many people know it's a very challenging time now with finances? Because I hear it all the time. People get in the car and they'll start talking to me. I'm like, yeah, you're right. It's a tough time. You know, we're all, as a country, we really got to pray for this country and stand for it. And but people are struggling, to be honest. So I try to encourage them about that. And we all need to be encouraged in that area. I believe the Lord delights in prospering his servants because he wants us to be blessed in everything we do, if I can say that to you. And everything you do, which you put your hand to, he'll bless it. If you believe that, you got to believe. Amen? Got to believe. But anyway, to encourage you, I got my glasses because I need them. Because I can't. I need them when I do reading. Here we go. Now I can see. All right. They're nice, aren't they? 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. That word perilous means dangerous. Will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, dishonorable to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, and brutal, despisers of what is good. Traitors, headstrong, keeps going on. I think we know all this, right? Haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than being lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. And such people, Paul says, stay away from. But here's the thing I really wanted to share with you today. 1 Thessalonians, Paul says to the church there, Paul says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, and sudden destruction comes upon them, as a laborer pains upon like as a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that the day should not overtake you or surprise you. In other words, what he's saying is, because we are children of God, we know by the Spirit of God what is happening. Now, when I say that, in a sense, the Lord gives us a heads up by the Holy Spirit. He lets us know what's happening. And I think the biggest thing that he always says to me is, fear not. Don't fear. You know, there are things that are going to happen. You know, he's going to be honest. But he goes, don't let it affect you. Don't allow it to steal your faith and your peace and your joy. Stay steadfast, immovable in the Lord, because he's going to show us things that we need to know before things happen. I believe that. And I think 24 is going to be a very interesting year, what I get. A lot of things are going to happen. And I'm not going to say, thus saith the Lord, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. No, because I have a lot of prophets have done that. And it's not, how shall I put this? It just leave it alone, because a lot of it hasn't even come to pass. I've seen a lot of things said that are supposedly going to happen. So my encouragement to you, I'm not against prophets. You know, I love the prophetic. But the point is, keep your eyes on the Lord, man. Keep your ears close. Listen to him. And stay close to him. Draw close to him as he will draw close to you. It's time for God's people to draw closer to him, never like before. We have to be in the place of intimacy with the Lord. It's time. It's time. But they know the day of the Lord, as you all know perfectly, the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. So God's going to come and do things when we least expect it. You are the sons of light and the sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Now, usually that word light means revelation, that God gives his church revelation. And he's given us revelation about the things that are about to come. So let us not, here, this is what Paul says, let us not sleep as others sleep. And he's talking about the people in the church. But let us be sober and be vigilant. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and as a helmet of hope of salvation. And God has not appointed us to wrath or judgment, but he to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God. Amen. For he died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other with these words, just as you also are doing. Then in Ephesians later, Paul speaks to the church at Ephesus, and he said, Paul says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. But all things that are at the end of remain manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is the light. Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light, or Christ will give you revelation. So then that you walk circumspectly. Now that word circumspectly means be aware of your surroundings. Wherever you are, always be aware. Be aware. Have discernment. Be aware where you're at. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. That word redeem means to buy or to purchase back. Buy up every opportunity that the Lord presents to you. Do not be unwise, but understand by the Holy Spirit what is the will of God in your life. Hallelujah. And so the Lord's always talking to the church about encouraging them that they're in the light, because when you're in the light, you're not going to fall, you're not going to go the wrong way. God wants us continually to be in the light, and He will show you things. Actually, the Holy Spirit says He will show you things to come. So, but, you know, the Lord's going to show us things. We're not going to be caught off guard. We are going to be at the right place at the right time. There, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then he says, verse 18, do not be drunk with wine or to excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember in the book of Acts, when Stephen was testifying about the gospel, what happened? You know, they didn't like it. And all, you know, the scripture says, but he being filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, I see heaven. Look, open, open your eyes. The Son of Man is standing at the right hand of God. But the thing is, though, he's the only one that saw that. Nobody else did. But he saw. You know why? Because it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will see things that you've never seen before. But it says to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be overflowing. Be filled with him. Because God wants to minister to his people. But there's a condition. You got to be filled with the Spirit of God. Every day you got to fill. Well, I'm already filled. No, no, no. You're not filled like he's talking. He's talking about every day. Fill up your tank. Spend time with God. There's a presence that when you come into his presence, like I've been doing lately, more than I have before, it's just like, man, you can't move because the power of God and the presence is so strong. But the Lord will speak to you in those times. And that's what he's been doing with me. He's speaking to me more and more and more. And then the Bible says in Jude, beloved, praying in the Spirit, praying in your most holy faith. What does that mean? I've been praying in the Spirit, tongues. That's what it means. Not just English, but tongues. Pray in the Spirit. How many people have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? How many people know that there's a reason for that? But what's the reason? To be filled with power from upon high. Amen? To walk in that place of authority. Paul understood. He stood the place of authority. He understood the place of authority because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But also Stephen recognized it too. And the only problem is, well, not a problem, he got stoned, but I don't even know if he felt the stones. He just looked up to heaven and he was taken up. Interesting. So it's not a time to fear, but it's a time to believe. It's a time to believe. It's a time to rejoice. It's a time to walk with the joy of the Lord in your heart. We're not the world. We're not going to look at these things. These are going to come anyway. It doesn't matter. They don't affect us unless you allow them to affect you. Stay steadfast. Stay fixed in your faith. Stay focused. And I kept getting the Lord telling me last night, stay on track. Stay the course. Here it is. Stay the course with me. Because there is a course and a track that you must stay on, because I want to bring you to a greater place here. You're going to a greater place eventually. We all are as believers. But he goes, no, no, no. I'm talking about the things I have waiting for you here. I've gone before you to prepare that. I have gone the way. I have gone the path. I've been there before you. Now, follow me. As you run that path, as you run that race, I will be waiting for you at the finish line. Amen? So he's waiting for us, but he's beckoning us like this. Come on, run. Come. Come on, I'm waiting for you. Don't let nothing distract you. Many distractions. It's always interesting when I go into prayer, I get distracted. The enemy tries to distract me. The phone rings, the door knocks. All is like, what the heck? Not now. I'm in prayer, don't you know? Of course, you know, I'm not shouting that through the door, but it's like, oh, well, we need to talk to you. I go, you talk to me later. And I said, yeah, I'll call you later. Okay, I need prayer. Okay, I'll pray for you when I'm done. Okay. Be good. I said, behave, Pastor Jay. Behave. The Lord says, be nice. I am being nice. I just don't want to be distracted spending my time with you. But I say it's really important to spend that time, especially now, because we're in perilous, as he said, we're in perilous times. We're in it. We are in it. So it's okay. God's going to take care of us. And he's going to, see, here's the thing. In the midst of it, the Lord is going to provide for his body, his bride. He's going to provide for you. He hasn't forgotten about you. You understand? He knows every need you have. So he's not going to forget about you. God hasn't forgotten about you. He knows you have this bill. He knows you need more money to pay the rent, to pay the more, whatever it is. If you belong to him, then he's got your back. He's either got your back or he don't have your back. Either he's got you or he doesn't have you. And that's in every area. And he wants to bless you. Seriously, he wants to encourage you. I've had people come up to me and like, oh, I felt led to give this to you. And I'm like, well, that's, thank you. I you don't know what to say. I go, well, thank you. I don't, really? And they go, yeah, here. So I go, well, thank you, right? And then I look at it later, the check, whatever it is, and I thought it was like $50 or something, and then it was $500. I had a guy come up to me one day at a radio station, and he goes, hey, Pastor, I want to bless you and your church. I go, really? Well, that would be, thank you. I appreciate it. Very nice guy. He was an Asian man, guy. I think he was Filipino, maybe. Maybe he was Filipino. But he came out, very nice guy. And I don't know him that well, but he knows me from being a pastor at this large church. So he goes, the Lord told me to do this. Here. I said, okay, well, thank you. It's very sweet, very kind of you. Walk in a car, get in the car. You don't want to look right. They're looking at you. So I sit in the car, and I open the envelope. There's a check for $5,000 for my church, for the church. I go, oh, my God. Wow. Praise God. But the Lord did that. He spoke to this man, and the man heard God and was obedient, and he gave me that money. Now, does he have it? Well, I think he must have it. He wouldn't have given it to me. But he owns a Christian radio station, and that's his ministry, you know. But I'm just to encourage you, wherever you go. I remember I was at a conference, and I was with my friend, Brad knows her, Mimi. And all of, we were at this conference, and I was next to this couple, very nice couple. And so Mimi goes to me, well, look, these people next to me, I'm going to give them something. I said, really? He goes, yeah, God just spoke to me. Give them this. So she taps the woman's shoulder, and she goes, oh, this is for you. The Lord told me to give it to you. And the woman broke out crying. And she said, this is helping me pay my rent, this last $200. So, but how did Mimi know that? Well, she heard from the Lord. See, when you hear from the Lord, he will bless you. He will use you. You know, all the time when I have an opportunity to bless people, even if I don't, let's say I need the money, be very frank with you, sometimes I'll just give it. Because the Lord wants to bless that person. And he goes, don't worry about you. See, he goes, don't worry about you. I got you. Bless that person. Be obedient. When you see a need, meet it. So I did. And the person was very blessed and very thankful. The guy was sleeping in his car. Yeah. He slept in his car for 2 years. And, you know, I just, the Lord said, well, just bless him. And his eyes opened up. He goes, oh, my God. I go, well, it's God's money, not mine. So I gave it to him, and he was very touched by that. So the point is, we have the power of wealth because we have a power with the Lord because we have that covenant with him. Amen? It's a better covenant. It's a better covenant. And I saw this picture, if you will. I get these images or pictures. I saw a tree, a big apple tree, with these beautiful apples on it, right? And I'm like, wow, what's that for? So he goes, watch. I'm watching. And then I see these big angels show up, and they have baskets. And they're taking the apples and putting in the basket, going around. And I said, what does this mean? He goes, that's the harvest that I want for us to go in and take it to the harvest that is here. And I guess he did apples because he knows I like them. I don't know. Macintosh, by the way. But the Lord just showed, it was like a picture, you know, and they're dancing around, and they're happy. These angels smile a lot. And I go, well, praise the Lord. I said, well, am I going to get some apples here? And then he goes, no, that's not for you. It's like, so I go, I said, all right. Well, you know, it would be nice, but okay. You're the boss. Yeah, but God has, he showed me that, you know, God wants to bless us in a greater way. We got to get rid of the poverty mentality. We got to believe. You know, I hear all these stories, you know, all these wealthy people, wealthy ministers, they're making all this money. I said, yeah, but that's nothing to do with me. I said, so they give, they're millionaires, the billionaires, for whatever they're doing. That's between them and God, what they do with their money, you know? And he said to me, don't worry about other people. Because once you get into looking at what they're doing or what's happening with them, then you become part of that in the sense of allowing that to take from you for what I put in your heart. Don't worry about them. If I want to bless you, I will. No matter what anybody says. I said, oh, that sounds good to me. I don't care. But God wants to take care of his church. He really does. I want to encourage you that the best is yet to come. I believe that. See, here, this is what I believe or what I see. I see the people of God who've been faithful, who have been there for the Lord, who have blessed the church and people and all. I see them, the Lord blessing them in a very powerful way this year. I believe that things are going to come in that we've been believing for. Is there anybody believing anything for anything? Okay. I believe the things that we've been waiting for are coming. They're on their way. It's checks in the mail. Let me leave it like that. But to encourage you, just put your hands up and say, Lord, I receive everything you have for me. Do that now. Put your hands up and say, Lord, I believe everything you have for me, and I receive that harvest in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for it. And when it happens, I will glorify you. I will praise you, and I will bless other people. It will not just be for me, me, me. It will be blessing to other people too. Amen? Because that's what we're supposed to do. But anyway, I will encourage you. I really feel that that's coming. It's not in vain, Brad. It's not in vain. But God has not forgotten you. And he has heard every prayer. And he's seen every tear. He goes, my son, I have not forgot about you. You've been faithful. Just stay in place. And you're not going to figure it out, but just let the Lord do it the way his way, and whatever that means. Amen. I just want to encourage you. God is about to bless us. So I'm excited about that. And the Lord is good. Now, Pastor Karen said before, now I have a now word. That's very interesting you said that, because that's what I'll be speaking about. Yes, a little bit, yes. Yes. So, Bible said, okay, do-do-do-do-do, into the Holy Spirit, saw Jesus, okay. It's interesting, it says when Stephen saw Jesus, he wasn't sitting, he was standing. My word of encouragement is to, when you're going through a hard time, he's standing with you. He's just not sitting there on the right hand, interceding, but he's standing with you. He sees every test, every trial, and he is standing with you. He stood with Stephen. You know, even though Stephen got stoned, it didn't matter. He's going to heaven. What did he care? You know what I mean? He's the only one to be with Jesus. And I'm not saying you're all going to, when you walk out today, you're going to get stoned. Please don't say that. I'm not saying that. The Lord, let me see, he knows how to keep his own. He knows how to protect us. And he's good. The Lord is good. I can't tell you how many experiences I've had when the hand of the Lord was on me. Praise God. Okay, so where is it now? Got so much stuff written down here. Okay. Time for my glasses. I'm Clark Kent. Okay. I'm Superman too, by the way, Brad. So, all right, the Lord provided for the man of God during the time of famine. Okay, we're talking about Elijah. And in the First Kings, it's talking about how the Lord provided for the prophet. Remember, the man of God during the time of what? Famine. And he instructs Elijah to depart from that place, to go to another place. Now, he was told to go to the brook Cherith, and he was there, and guess what? He was drinking the water, and it says the ravens came to feed him, and he was taken care of at the place called there. There was Cherith, the brook Cherith, and a place and a location the Lord instructed the man of God to go to. And he went according to the word of the Lord and went and stayed by the brook Cherith, and which flowed into Jordan. And the Bible says that the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. He continued to drink from the brook. Then it says that it happened after a while that the brook dried up. That season was over. How many people know we have seasons? And there's certain ones that, well, it dried, but Lord provided for him to begin with, but it was time to leave there. He dried it up to bring into what? The next place. So if things dry up in your life, there's a reason for them. Don't think it's you and da-da-da. No, it's a timing thing. It's a season thing. There's seasons like there is here on the earth. And the word of the Lord came to him saying, now go to Sarepath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there to be, I will provide for you. And Elijah, at the command of the Lord, goes to another place. And the second place is called there also. Go there. And he understood this, at the beginning, Elijah was hearing the voice of God clearly. And he couldn't have been provided for if he didn't know their, if he didn't know the Lord's voice. Hallelujah. But he followed the voice of Yahweh. So the Lord says to Elijah, arise, go to Sarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. And I've commanded the widow woman to provide for you. Interesting. There to provide for you. He arose and he went to Sarephath, and he came to a gate of the city. A widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And she was going to get it, and he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, the Lord, by the Lord who lives, the Lord God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil, a jar. See, I am gathering a couple of sticks that we may go and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. That's encouraging. Verse 13. Elijah has another plan for her, or God has another plan. And he says to her, do not fear, and do as you have, as I have said, but make a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for your son too. And bring the oil. And the first thing Elijah said to the widow woman is, fear not, but do as you have been told, but I have a small cake first and bring it to me, and then come to me with your son. And for this says the Lord, the God of Israel, the bend of flour shall not be dried up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day of the Lord sends rain on the earth. So the Bible says, so she went away and did according to the word of the Lord to Elijah, and she went and her household ate many days. How many people know that God can make small things into greater things? I understand that he always starts with something small. Amen? He always starts with something small. Be encouraged. It's interesting. I always talk to Pastor Karen, and she's telling me about her prayer group on Tuesday. And you know, she tells me about all the people that come. You know, and I said to her, you know, to encourage you, the people that are coming out to prayer, you got probably half the church coming out to prayer. Probably. But here's my point. When I started Pastor Karen, my first church, the Lord said this church will grow by two things. And I go, what are they? He goes, prayer every Friday night, prayer, that's a key, and then the Word of God. And so people came, like in the beginning it was 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then it grew to about 15 people. We were all in this little, in the living room, and we couldn't fit. And I would say within a year, maybe, year and a half, the church doubled because of the prayer. It wasn't because I was a great preacher. You know, I could hold my own, but it was because of prayer, if I may say that. Started at 7, ended at 11. So we were praying all night. You know, we had music on, everything. And I just laid on the floor in the presence of God. I couldn't even move. It was that strong, and the prayer was so strong. And we were praying for souls. We were praying that you'd bring us souls. Because the area where we were was very, what's the word, rural country. It was like in a boonies, right? And it was just very kind of, I don't know if I use the word desolate, but it was very, yeah, just like there wasn't a lot of people in one location. It was all spread out. But they started coming. People started coming and coming and coming. And the Lord said, look. And I said, yeah. He goes, you see all those people? I go, yeah. He goes, so I guess your prayers are working. I said, well, I think so. And he goes, keep praying. Keep pressing in. Don't be moved by anything. Pray, pray, pray until you see your desire accomplished. So the Lord's saying, see, even today, enter in. Keep your prayer life strong. Stay in faith. Be encouraged. Don't listen to the words of the world. I can't even watch TV anymore. I can't. It's depressing. I can't do it. I can't do it. But, you know, there's only one person I watch on TV when he comes on, but I'm not going to say who it is. Then I'll get him political. But anyway, just want to, you know, encourage you. Just stay focused. Stay on track. Because the Lord has great things for you. And the Bible says, so she went away, did according to the word of the Lord, and her household ate many days, and the bin flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke. During a dry season, a lot of times there's no movement, but God is moving. When you're not even looking and you're seeing, he's moving for you. How many people believe that? You and I, it means we're called to a place, called there. But here's the interesting thing. Just like the prophet Elijah, when he was directed by the Lord, but we have a new covenant and we have a new place. And I'm gonna share that with you right now. It's at a, you know, he said he was called to a place called there, right? Okay, he went there. He went to that location. But with us, it's a little bit, well, it's a little bit different. And I will get that text for you. Okay. This is when you want to get something, your pages stick. Okay. All righty. So, here we go. Okay. Oh, that's weird. Anyway, the scripture says in Hebrews, it's chapter 11. I don't know why it's not here, but that's interesting. But faith is now the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things. It's not a place called there. It's called a place now. We are in a now place. That's where God moves, in the now. You understand? Yeah, he'll take you to the other place, but he wants you in place, in the place called now. Faith is not now. It's now. Now, that might sound simple, but it's a truth. It's a prophetic word that the Lord has for his church. So I want to encourage you about now. Faith is now. And, you know, we read the scripture. Here it is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. And it goes on and on, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And all these miraculous things were done because of what? They understood that faith is now. Now. You're in the place of now. You're in the place that will bring you to there. Now will bring you to there. But you got to be now in the right place. Then God will take you to there. Does that make sense? He's trying to get us in alignment. He's trying to get us to be where we need to be right now. I'm talking about spiritually. I don't think I need to move out of town. But I'm saying to you, you got to be in that right place for God to hear you and to God to move on your behalf. Now is the time. So now is a season, but now will turn into that place called there. Wherever he brings you, he's going to provide for you. Amen. He's going to provide for his church. So I want to encourage you about that. And I just, yeah, I just, you know, all the other stuff that we're seeing, everything, you don't pay no attention to that, the news. I don't really pay attention to all that. But here's what I was going to share with you before. Now listen to what it says in Matthew 24, and I'll be very, very quick. But of the day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but only the Father knows. But the days of Noah, like the days of Noah, were also until the coming of the Son of Man. For as the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and did not know the flood came and took them all away. Or the coming of the Son of Man will be. And it goes on to say, you know, two men were there in the field, one was taken. And he's talking about these people that were there and they disappeared. It says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know that is that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready. What does he say? Be watchful, be ready, for the Lord is coming when a time you don't expect him. And who is a faithful ruler over his household to give the food to in due season? There's a due season for your food or whatever you're believing God for. Blessed is that servant who the Lord finds doing when he comes. And for those who are looking for him, watching, readiness, and also looking for him. Not looking for the Antichrist, but looking for the Lord. In other words, with expectation. You're excited about him coming. How people are exciting about the Lord coming. Seriously. You know, oh, but I didn't get married yet. I go, relax. I said, believe me, you know, marriage is great, but you're going to be, heaven's going to be, you won't even forget about marriage. You'll forget about marriage. But marriage is good. Going to get yourself in trouble, Jay. But the Lord, you know, we should be ready for him. And I think here's the thing. The main thing is not to be in fear. But we can believe God in the meantime. We can hold our ground. We can believe him. Because usually faith works in hard times. Usually faith works during our transitional period. So faith is always moving, but it's in a place called now. Faith now. Faith is now. Now is substance of things for. Now, 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 now. I want it now. You ever hear a little kid, I want it now, I want it now. Well, you don't have to go do that because he knows what you need now. And he's not gonna leave you hanging. Can I say that? Every time I have struggled or there was a bill coming in or something. I didn't have the money. And all of a sudden, right before it came, somebody sent me a check or something happened, and the Lord took care of it. And he always says to me, did I not promise to take care of you? Why are you worried? Why would you not think, I'm going to take care of you? That doesn't, you're not supposed to walk by what you see anyway. You're supposed to walk by faith, right? The just shall live by faith, right? Without faith, it's a, what? Impossible to please God. So it gets back to faith, but it gets back to believing and trusting him, because he knows what's best for you and me. You know, so I think we got some time, so don't get worried if you didn't get married yet. I think we might have I think we have some time. I don't know how much time, but it's okay. That's it. That's in his hands. I think what Paul says, be content. Whatever situation you find yourself in, just learn to be content. Learn to be happy. Learn to be fulfilled in me. You know, you are blessed compared to the world. These people are lost. They don't have Jesus. They don't. And I picked up these three women last night driving. And well, I picked them up. I was doing Uber. So I pick up these three women, and I start talking about, they're going, well, what do you do? And I go, well, I do this, I do that. And they go, oh, yeah? I said, yeah. And they go, oh, well, I said, I used to be in law enforcement a little while, but I'm, you know, I don't do that no more. Shows a little woman goes, my husband's a cop. I said, well, that's nice. So she goes, yeah, he just retired 30 years. And I knew the town that he was a policeman, and he knew other people that I knew. And he goes, I started mentioning names. She goes, oh, yeah, I know them. I know them. Yeah, we met together. We met them. Oh, good. And I said, one of the guys is one of my best friends. She goes, what's his name? I said, Tom Sanders. She goes, oh, wow. So you're one of those born-again people. So I go, I said, yeah, I am. You know? So she's like, well, how did you become born again? Here it is. So here I am sharing the gospel with them, right? All of a sudden, the one woman, she goes, and I'm giving them my testimony, but the one, they were drinking, but the woman in the back kind of freaked on me. And she goes, let me get out of this car. Let me get out of this car. I go, excuse me? I'm bringing you here. I'm right here to the door. Get me out. I don't want to stay. Go. I'm out. And I said, oh, my God. I said, all right, goodbye. Goodbye. Close the door. But in the midst of me sharing my testimony, she flipped out. She goes, I don't want to hear this stuff. The hands are raising and all this stuff. So I go, well, they were raising their hands because they were blessed. You know, I was explaining to the church where I was. She goes, well, I don't know. You know, this is a little bit too much of the God thing. I said, hey, you asked me, I told you. So I'll never pick her up again. I'm sorry. But anyway, it was fun to some degree. I thought I was doing well. I mean, sharing my testimony. But she didn't see it that way. Well, I'm going to tell you what. She had spirits in her. The Lord told me that. He goes, she's full of demons. She's got spirits in her. And I go, yeah, that makes sense. You know, not to put her down, but she was full. She had a lot of baggage, like Newark Airport. But it's okay, you know. You still got to pray for her. Anyway, I forgot her name. Wow, I wonder why. Yeah, I tried. I mean, it was funny. I never had that happen to me. She will remember. But the other two ladies were very nice. Oh, wow, that's interesting. Well, whatever you need. I'm like, yeah, I felt like saying, but you need them too. But I just didn't have the liberty to go there at that point, you know, because they were ready to get out of the car because she was the head leader, the follower, the chief, the one that was screaming and yelling and making hands. I said, okay, well, God bless you. Have a nice day. And that was it. Did I get anybody else? No, I haven't had anybody like that in a long time. But I still enjoy doing it. Praise God. And yeah, wherever you're at, just be Jesus to people. That's all I was doing. It was just being Jesus. And they go, oh, well, we're going to tell these cops that, you know, what's his name, and you were, whatever. I go, well, that's fine. I don't care. He don't care, my friend. They call him Father Tom on the police department. They give him a hard time because he's a Christian. But he don't care. You know, he's just a nice guy. He's Jesus. Like, I got to give you an example. They were giving the vaccines out, and he didn't want to get it. So he did, what was it? He did a, yes. Yeah. And so the one other cop goes, well, look, Tom got it. He goes, yeah, but he's a real Christian. You're not. Because you're just doing it because you want to get out of getting the shot. But it was interesting. He goes, well, yeah, I see the other guy. So, yeah, well, no, he lives it. I see his life. And not to put the guy down, but he said, you're not really like that. You know, you're doing it because you don't want to get the shot. Let's be honest. Interesting how people show up and show out in their lives when they have Jesus in them. Amen. Praise God, and I just want to encourage some people. We have some worship music. I'm looking at Eric. Somebody. Doesn't mean a lot. Because I really want to pray for people's needs today, because I really feel the Lord wants to bless you. God wants to bless your socks off.